a great people unless you had walls of protection. And that's so in our families today. That's what church is about. That's what your family altar is about. Your devotions are about building walls around your children. Walls of the truth. That'll protect them. The truth will protect them. Walls of your prayer will protect them. Teaching them things of life, hard work, honesty, humility, that type of thing. So praise the Lord. In the book of Nehemiah 3, so we've already went through these gates. Some of them, and the sheep gate, and the fish gate, the old gate, and then the valley gate, and now the dung gate, verse 14. But the dung gate repaired Malchiah, the son of Rechab, the ruler of the part of Beth Hakaram. He built it and set up the doors thereof, and the locks thereof, and the bars thereof. So the despised gate. What these gates illustrate to us is the progression of the Christian life. There's a reason, and of course these are very significant. They're significant by their name. They're significant where they're located. So to get into the city of God, you start out at the sheep gate. That's where it all starts. It goes to the sheep gate. It ends up at the sheep gate. We started out in our relationship with Christ. We'll end up in heaven one day rejoicing in Him. Then you go from the sheep gate to the fish gate. That's when you go tell everybody God saved you. You know how exciting that was. People hadn't heard it yet. They hadn't rejected you yet. And they would let you tell them. And those first days are so such a blessing and a privilege. And then as your life goes on, you get home more the message of God. You don't just give your testimony. You can talk about doctrinal truth. You spread the gospel. You're good to one another. And that's where you get to the old gate. When you got that exuberance about salvation, then you got to get settled in the old truth. And make sure you're telling people right. Like in Sunday school, Apollos told these men, 12 disciples, all he knew to tell them. All he knew was the baptism of John. That wasn't an updated message. But when he got it and they got it, they all believed it. That's what that old gate's about. It's getting established in the truth and knowing how to rightly divide the word of God and us being people of the book. And then you come up to the valley gate and gloriously God saved you, no matter how wonderful it was, everybody you told him all the great truths you've learned, you're headed to the valley. The honeymoon will be over. That's not to be discouraging. This part of it. There's things you learn in the valley you could have never learned anywhere else. That's what it's for. And it's to reveal things in you that are a hindrance to your life. Now at the sheep gate and at the fish gate and at the old gate, and God hadn't even bothered you about these things. But then you start that work of sanctification and that work of getting closer to God, and the Lord reveals things to you. What do you do when you find out there's things in your life that God's not pleased with? You got to get rid of them. That's what this gate's all about. Getting rid of that does not please God at the dung gate. The garbage, the trash, the filth in your life. And getting it cleaned out of your life. So that once you leave this lowest point of the city, this dung gate, this despised gate, from then on you start ascending higher and higher and higher around the city and higher with God. What you do at this dung gate, the principles here will determine if you start ascending. Amen. Remember the closest days of your life that you live with God? I'll tell you something about them, because I know about it in my own life. Were the days there was nothing between you and the Savior. You was obeying all the light God had given you. You was doing what God had put in your heart. And when you stopped all of that is when you got miserable. And to get back to that point, you got to know what to do with your sin and with your failures. The dung gate repaired Malchiah, the son of Rechab, the ruler of the part of the Beth-Hakrim. He built it, set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, and the bars thereof. Now, this valley gate, the valley gate above it, and then down to this dung gate, leads directly into two valleys. Directly, it's a part of the valley of Hinnom. It's the point where all that garbage is sent down to where they burn it and they get rid of it. The other valley is the valley of Kidron. That's where Christ walked over to the valley of Gethsemane. Either, now watch this, either your sin is going to be taken care of through the Kidron Valley, or they're going to be yours. You're going to live with them and die with them and be judged with them in the valley of Hinnom forever and forever. I won't mind taking through the Kidron Valley. Amen. Through Christ. So this dung gate, the despised gate, goes to the valley of Hinnom. This is what Christ used to illustrate hell. It's where they burned the unclean bodies. It's where they burned the animals. It's where they burned all of the trash of Jerusalem. It's where the sewage went. It was on fire and it never ceased to burn. It burned. That's where Christ dealt with unquenchable fire. Him, that's the maggots. Him, that is the old dogs around the edges. Down there's where they worship the god Moloch, offer their children up to a pagan god under Manasseh and other men. But listen to me, folks. If you're going to have civility, if you're going to have society, if you're going to have help, if you're going to have life, you got to have the dung gate.
Amen.
Nobody wants to deal with it. You get a problem in your sewage at home, ain't nobody wants to fix that. But you better fix it, or you're going to die. That's right. Matthew told me, my boy, when he was over in Iraq in that surge, he said when they'd go into a city that's so and get in that warfare, a lot of times they'd annihilate the power, no water, no sewage. He said sometimes the sewage would get so thick and get so deep they'd have to pull the trucks out because they'd get stuck. I'm telling you, a city can't exist, a church can't exist, a child of God cannot live for God till you learn what to do with your sin.
Amen.
You know what's wrong with some of your houses? The stench is piling up. Sewage is backed up. It's been backing up a long time. Boy, that's right. It's going to get you. It's going to give you disease. Boy, this is a simplistic truth, but my, how it illustrates. You can't operate a business. You can't make money. Listen, the whole thing shuts down if the power's off, if the water's off, if the sewage is off. Life stops. And you get something going through this dung gate. It's an ugly name. Ugly name. But it does a beautiful thing. You can't live without it. The dung gate was the portal to get rid of the waste. Boy, hey, listen to me. Hey, your body gets to the place that the waste isn't being discharged, you're going to die. Now, I know we don't want to talk about it. We don't like thinking about it. It's a subject nobody wants to touch. But I'm here to tell you, God set the human body up. God set cities up to teach spiritual lessons. God help us to get out of the sewage. And it's backed up. We need clean lines. That's right. We need a clean heart. Boy, brother Luke's brother Jeff and T. Scruggs been such a blessing to me. It was just a few years ago when they put in a city sewer, county sewer, down to where I live. They come down that road, and the road stops there. And instead of going far enough down to where it'd be gravity fed, they stop. And so all that sewage and water's got to go uphill. Therefore, you got to have a pump to pump it uphill. Now, as long as that pump works, they not much get in there. It's done pumped it out. I mean, you can hear it. It's gone. And but a few years ago, before Seth got married, his in-laws were down. And I don't think he got married yet. If he had, he just was married. And on Christmas Day, that pump tore up. And I knew if anybody get me help, it's T-Scruggs. I said, Keith, I need help. I know how close you are to Jeff, and this is Christmas. I can't hardly stand the thoughts of asking him to help me on Christmas Day. I said, but man, I'm in a heap of trouble. I got all these people down here, and something's got to give. Right. And, you know, the men, you might can live with it, just men. You got women in there, that just changes it all. Right. They got to be able to fix their face. They got to be able to doll up. Right. You know, that's a necessity. Anyhow. So Brother Jeff calls up the man, him and me ride to Hickory. That man laid the part out and hit it, and Brother Jeff got it, and he put that thing on. Here it was the other week, I'm being gone all the time, and that thing lasted about 3 years and just stopped again. Our Brother Jeff come, we was down a couple days, but come on Monday and pulled me out of the ditch again. I'll tell you, you never know how precious the flow of water is, and you never know how precious it is to get out the garbage until it shuts down. Amen. Now, the stench of the Valley of Hinnom. Ah, it's an amazing thing how God made that thing. So they're burning down there. They're taking care of all this garbage. But just as providence of God would have it, in the Valley of Hinnom were the strongest winds of all the valleys. And that wind, it's like you got a burn barrel and you're burning. Boy, it's nice to have that wind come by and take that sin away. That's how God designed this thing. But here's a man, a great man, a man that's willing to work, a man that's willing to do this difficult task. As far as we know, this one man was all there was that repaired this gate. Nobody else willing. Ain't nobody wants anything to do with that dumb part. Oh, no. None of us do. We sure want it working, though. I'll tell you this, this story, this man is a glory story. The Bible talks about the city of Jerusalem being that, I'm telling you, God chose Jerusalem. God chose Old Testament Israel. He elected them. He chose them. He elected Jerusalem to be the capital of Israel, and nothing was going to change that. It was a beautiful city. God said, it's the city of God. It's the city of David. It's the city of the King. It's the city where Christ was crucified. It's the city where David, King David, conquered the Jebusites, conquered the city, and ruled and made it his capital. And it'll be one day our Lord shall rule and reign from Jerusalem. Amen. Nehemiah 2. Jerusalem is a that beautiful city has become rubbish. That was beautiful has become a place of filth, a place of waste. There was no dung gate in the city. The city's defiled. The city's unclean. All the acclamation of the beauty and the greatness of Jerusalem was a wasted thing until they got a system. They could get the defilement out and get the sin out. Folks, what I'm saying is you and I in our life, God has got to get out the sin. But he won't get it out till we repent of it. And go to the right place. What about the sins of the heart? That's as filthy as the sins of the flesh. It's not as seen as so because you can't see it. What about the sin? And I get this way. Sometimes I get in a rut in prayer, and I've done repented all week of that. Said, oh God, I want my prayer life to have vitality. I just don't want to say names. I try to say names every day. I don't want it just to be names. I want God to quicken me and burden me. What about the sin of indifference? The sin of unconcern, the sin of carelessness, the sin of waywardness, the sin of unbelief, the sin of unfaithfulness, the sin of unholiness. Now, I'm not here to pick on y'all, you know that, but I'm here to try to instruct you. Sometimes what happens when we get in a rut, we don't realize the mess we're in. Boy, you can get stuck where a normal truck can't pull you out. God be winched out. Boy, it's according to how deep that rut is, according to where it's at. We can get in a rut going to church. Boy, we need to be excited again about serving God. Now, you may not get up excited about it. The only one that probably did was my daddy. You heard his testimony. He had a view of work ethic like few men I ever seen. He never did look at getting up and going to work as a drudgery. It was his delight because it fed his family. That's how he looked at it. That's how you look at things. Some of y'all get up, you get up early. And you go to work, you know why? Because your family's got to live. That's a commendable thing. You got to provide for your family. I wish we had the same commitment to the church. I wish we was committed to the church as we are our work. One day God's going to talk to you about that. Hey, you put money above him.
That's right.
You got to have money. You got to work. Everything in its place. But that we will be committed. I'll tell you one thing. We'll be committed to a Thanksgiving meal. We'll be committed to Christmas. We'll be committed to buying gifts. Are we committed to the church? This is the body of Christ. It's what God died for. Christ died for it. In the flesh. Ephesians 4:22. God says we got to put up with the way we're made. Folks, I'm telling you right now, just like the refuse has got to depart from your body, sin in our heart, that old nature has got to be dealt with. If not, we'll begin to smell. We won't be able to stand ourselves. Nobody else will be able to stand us. I'm talking about how to get rid of the garbage. See, boy, doesn't this so illustrate this? That's why God gave it. I tell you what, I've never had God show me any deeper these truths than studying for this. Ephesians 4:22, that old nature is called the old man. That you put off the old concerning the former conversation, the old man. That's that old life, that old nature, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. He said, put off the old, that former way of life, because it's corrupted. It's corrupted by lust, and it's corrupted by deception. Put off the old man and put on the new man. Now, that is an imagery there that Paul's using about clothes. To put on a new suit, I got to take off his old one. That's what he's talking about. Don't live according to the conduct of your old life. Don't talk like you used to talk. Don't listen to the same music and do the same things you used to. When you're saved by God's grace, you're to have a new life. Put on the new man. And you say, well, I ain't going to do it. Stay defeated. You're just full of sewage. Full of sewage. And it's a backing up. And it won't be long. Everybody will smell the sewage. Man, these illustrations are not very kosher, but they sure are real. When a prisoner is released, okay? Let's look at it this way. This is a great illustration. When a prisoner is released, Brother Michael, in the old days, they wore those striped suits. Maricopa County, down there in Arizona, old Joe, the old sheriff, would make his inmates, make those men put on pink suits and go out there and buzz rocks all day in the heat. Boy, the liberals started pulling their hair out. But when you get out of prison, you don't want to wear prisoner clothes. You want to change your clothes. Those clothes will identify you as being a prisoner. And when you get out of prison, you change your clothes. If you've ever got out of the prison of sin, you're to put on different clothes. You're not to be identified by that that about destroyed you. You know, clothes affect your attitude. You know that's so. If you've got a certain amount of clothes, you got the money and got special clothes you wear just on Sunday. Now that's where that old saying come from. It's time to go to meeting clothes. Because everybody used to have one white shirt and maybe one pair of dress clothes. This wasn't in the day when we're just blessed like we are now. But had clothes that you only wore on Sunday. When I was a little boy growing up, we had Sunday clothes. Clothes you just wore on Sunday, or you just wore to church. Therefore, when you put them on, your whole attitude's going to change. Because they set you apart to go to God's house. See, we've lost all of these traditions. And now people go to church like they go to Walmart, and they ain't no difference. Huh? Huh? Right. And it's the same attitude in the church it is down at the county fair. Right. The reverence is gone. Boy, you better hear what I'm saying. It's important. Our forefathers hadn't lost their mind. They know clothes set an attitude. You take all your clothes off, you're going to have an attitude too. That's exactly right. Attitude changes your conduct. Conduct changes your attitude. Now, dear people, you can argue. But you can't prove me wrong what I'm saying. You know it's right. You might kick and rebel and fight against it, but it's right. That means that new man is to be dressed right. That new man of forgiveness, that new man of compassion, that new man of love, that new man of a purpose in life, and a new worldview, and a new commitment. If you listen, if you are saved, right with God, I guarantee you it'll change how you vote.
Amen.
Oh, yeah. It changed your whole worldview. You got a loving and forgiveness you never had before. Boy, we'll have a report that's believable. Ephesians 4:24. Put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Yeah, watch this now. This has been misinterpreted and misapplied for years in America, in the South. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now you better know what that means. If any man be in Christ, he's got a new nature. He's got a new creation inside of him. He's a new creature. And when he walks according to that new nature, all things are passed away. When he walks according to that new nature, all things are become new. But if he starts walking according to that old nature, all things are not becoming new. That's right. That's where preachers can draw that line so thick that nobody's saved and they stay confused all the time. Boy, if you're right with God, you've changed every area of your life. If you haven't changed, you're not saved. No, he's talking about if you walk according to that new man, all things are new. That's like Brother Keith here says. When God saved him, God opened him up to a world he didn't even know existed. Created in holiness. Created in the image of Christ. Now watch this right quick. What God created in me, the new nature, is instinctively righteous and holy. This is the new man. In contrast, that old man is instinctively rebellious and disobedient. Now, how you're acting proves which one of these you're walking by. A lot of people think they're lost when they're saved because they won't obey God. I don't care. It don't matter what you preach. They're not going to do it. And they're going to stay defeated till they die. In that sense, you know what? Sewage keeps building up. Romans 7:24, that old nature seen as a body of death. Why did he call that old nature the body of death? Imagery again. In Paul's day, when a man murdered somebody, they'd take that old carcass If a man's tried and he's convicted, they'd take that old carcass and tie it to that prisoner or to that man. He'd have to live with that body decaying on his back till it decayed him and corrupted him. And that's exactly what Paul said. He said, inside of us is that old body of death. It's true. Book of Romans 7:20. Now if I do that which I would not, it's no longer I that do it, the sin that dwelleth in me. That's not the new Paul. That's the old Saul of Tarsus. It's not that new man dwelling in me does wrong. It's that old man that does wrong. Now we say here that when I act like Adam, according to that old flesh, I dishonor God and Christ. Jerusalem is to be a beautiful city. It's to be a city set on a hill. It's to be a place of the inhabitation of God. It's where the temple was. It's where the Shekinah glory was. It's where the Ark of the Covenant was. But it can't be a beautiful city. People can't live there, dwell there, unless you get rid of the filth. Defilement's a reality. It was representative and it was repetitive. That means it was continual. Every day you got to get rid of the defilement. Ain't that true in your physical life? Every day you got, listen, keep a short sin list. Don't go to sleep at night not having your sins forgiven. And if they're going to be forgiven, they've got to be repented of. That's why Paul said, I die daily. I die to my old nature daily. My old nature still wanting to control me. That's what he's talking about. But this hazardous, putrid, breeding ground of disease leads to sickness, death, corruption, and contamination. Filth of Jerusalem makes it lose its beauty. Because you can't even, you got that stuff everywhere. You can't even go inside of it. It is hazardous to even go inside. What causes disunity among the brethren? What causes you to lose fellowship with God and one another? What causes us to back up and do things that at one time we'd never believe we could ever done again? Is that sewage building up and you're used to the smell? It ain't no big thing no more. I know when I was a boy, I'd go spend the night with one of my buddies, and guess what? I've told this here before. He lived beside a railroad track. Can you imagine that? Trying to sleep beside a railroad track? That thing is shaking the house. You know what? I was the only one in the whole house ever woke up. They never woke up. Never. Shaking that house, all that noise. You know what? They're used to it. We get used to the smell of the stench. But people come up around us, they smell it, but we don't because we're used to it. You better let that sink in. God has put an altar in a church. And you don't have to be on the altar. You can be at your house. But you make somewhere an altar where you meet with God to get rid of your sin. There's got to be a dung port. There's got to be a place that you get rid of. And boy, this is the place of filth to keep it from building up. Get rid of it quick. The devil misrepresents sin to us. He makes it look so harmless. So harmless. I don't want to be morbid. In the old days, they brought the body into the house. They set up all night with the body. That's where the receiving was. Then it was taken to the church or to the cemetery, wherever, and the service was held. But the receiving, man, they'd set up that body sometimes. They'd keep that body in the house for days. And you know what? When you first bring that body in, and it's cold and it's clammy, but it looks harmless. It don't look like it could destroy your whole house. But you can't keep that. I don't care how much you love your mother, how much you love your father or your child. You can't keep that dead body in your house. It's not harmless. Are y'all seeing how God's making the application here? As much as you don't want to, you got to go dig a hole and put that body in the ground or it can't do harm until the living. That's the way sin is. Don't tell me a cobra's not dangerous. It looks so harmless. You let that thing get a hold of you. You let a python get a hold of you. You'll find out how harmless it is. You let a leak start in your house. Your roof start leaking. You don't do anything about it. I tell you, before long, your whole house is going to be rotted out from just a leak. It'll take over. I think y'all see what I'm trying to say. You can't have filth on the streets without having sickness, disease, and death. Now, why do you daily bathe your body? To get rid of the smell. To get rid of the filth. And people go to church and never go to the altar. They never repent. My God. Never take a bath. Y'all get this? You've got to take a bath every day with God. You don't need your whole body washed. You need your feet washed. That's where we get contaminated out in this world. I'm here to tell you how this stuff builds up when we get careless. The reality of defilement, the repetition of the defilement, the ridding of the defilement. The city can never be beautiful and healthy again until this dung gate was built and the refuge was taken to the proper place. 2 Corinthians 7:1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. We got to have our attitude straightened. That attitude's healthy. That which defiles us inwardly is the imagery is compared to that that defiles us physically, outwardly. 2 Corinthians 6:17. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Say, my preacher, my prayers ain't getting through. It's like God ain't received me. Then what are you doing? This thing ain't complicated. Do you love God more than your sin? God's hammering us. Are we listening to Him? Are we going to obey Him? You can't build a church without obedient people. I don't care how much money you got, how big a crowd you got. You can't have God's glory in a bunch of filth. You can have people that, I'm talking about the members of the church now. Church is open to everybody. I'm talking about the members. They've got to be people right with God. At least a remnant in the membership. He said, I'll receive you. I'll welcome you. 1 Timothy 5:22. Lay hands suddenly on no man. Neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. Don't be partaker of other men's sin. Don't say, well, they're doing it. I can do it. What's that got to do with anything? Well, that preacher's doing it. I don't care what preacher does it. God's word has precedence over everything we do. 1 Peter 1, be ye holy, for I'm holy. 1 Peter 1:16. What's the Lord saying to these New Testament men? Keep yourself clean. Keep yourself pure. Get rid of the garbage. Notice in Nehemiah 3:14, right quick. Here we go. The repairing of this, he built it. He set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, and the bars thereof. At this gate, one man is mentioned, and just one. His name was Melchi. This man was of royalty. He is a ruler. This is a governor. And he humbled himself to do the undesired. He humbled himself to do that nobody else wanted to do. You know why? God called the right man. Because he'd do it. He was willing to do it for the betterment of all. What a man. Responsible to get out the filth of Jerusalem. Well, now, dear people, I'm not liking myself to this man. This is a great man here. That's what God's man does. He's trying to get the filth out. That's why we preach on sin. That's why we preach on repentance. We're trying to get the filth out. Or it builds up and builds up and builds up, and we won't be able to live with each other. You can't live among filth, folks. That's why some churches blow all the kingdom gum, because they get so full of filth that nobody can live in there. God's done pulled out, and everybody else is. Your sins got to be purged. That heavenly Jerusalem is not going to, there'll be nothing that defiles there. God plainly said that. Nothing better to defile. There'll be no filth and uncleanliness up there. Now the question is, what is the child of God, what is the sinner going to do with their sin? You better get rid of it. Amen. Are y'all seeing why we're where we are? You say, I'm not out here getting drunk. Have you quit believing God? Well, I'm not out here doing drugs. Do you have any faith? Well, I'm not here running with women. Are you laying out of church? Why's it got so acceptable now? We don't have to go to church. I don't need what that preacher's got to say. Do you understand the rebellion of that? God's going to talk to you about that one of these days. Huh? You're going to explain that to him. Now, some of y'all have to get up and go to work at 1 o'clock in the morning. I sort of understand some things. But I'm talking about people that'd rather watch television than hear God's word. That's filth. That's absolute filth. And you say, well, I won't be back. Well, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I can't live in garbage. I can't live in filth. I don't live in mine, don't live in yours either. I'm not trying to run nobody off. I want us to get right with God. This ain't time to bail out. It's time to say, God, I'm wrong. He who knew no sin became sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Folks, you got to get power over that old nature. And the only way you can is through the power of Jesus Christ. So, let me hurry up. I got to quit. 1 Thessalonians 4:1. Furthermore, we beseech you, brethren, exhort you by the Lord Jesus Christ, as you received of us, how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. He said, you want to get, oh, God bless me. Are you serious about that? You just talking. I want to abound more and more. When are you going to start obeying what you're a priest? Ain't that what he said? He said, don't line up with the Bible. Don't obey it then. If it don't line up with the Bible, you need to come and tell me because I don't want to preach heresy. Verse 2. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. You should abstain from fornication. This is a sex-mad generation. That's filth.
Amen.
If it ain't under marriage, it's filth.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
Filth. Filth.
Amen.
That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Not in the lust of concupiscence, that's uncontrolled lustful passion. Even as the Gentiles which know not God, let no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter. That's cheating somebody in money. Because the Lord's the avenger of all such, and has also forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us to uncleanness, unto holiness. He therefore that despises not man but God that hath given us the Holy Spirit. Now you're not mad at me. You don't despise me. You're despising God. Is that what he said? I need more amens than that. Is that what God said?
Amen.
Then why do you despise me? You're despising God.
Amen.
God's going to talk to you about this stuff. He done been trying to and you ain't listening. So then comes the switch and the correction.
That's good.
Well, preacher, I want to hear the truth. Listen, thank God that you'll hear the truth. Do something about it. I'm not up here beating my gums. Do something about it. If you're wrong, repent.
Amen.
Get out the fields. God will receive you. Ain't that the way? Boy, we're right down there where we live. God let me preach this all over the country where he sent me. God's going to judge your morality. You ain't getting by not if you belong to God. If you're getting by, you ain't saved. God calls you to holiness and not uncleanness. Those who reject the commandment to abstain from sexual filth will be judged by God, because God has given us the Holy Spirit. Young people, I want to tell you why God likes marriage vows, because God believes in commitment. When you said, I do, you said that publicly in front of your family and in front of witnesses. And you said, by that action, I vow commitment to this one person.
Right. Amen.
I'm giving myself to them. They're giving their self to me. Now, folks, listen. You say, preacher, what if we're guilty of this? Hey, I want to get it right now. This is mercy, people.
Right, amen.
I'm a sinner saved by grace. And God's letting one of y'all come in here and preach to you. He could have come down with a holy angel and terrified every one of us. But I understand you. I understand the passions of the flesh. I understand how some of y'all been hurt. I understand how you get caught in these traps. I understand lust is the most powerful thing I know of. But you got to do things God's way. Your wife or husband is to gratify you. It's not to be self-gratification. Now they're making all these robots. Having brothels with robots. Can you imagine how depraved we are? Is that wickedness? Is that reprobate? That's absolute reprobation. Remember the dung gate? It leads to the Kidron Valley and the Valley of Hinnom. Now let me just say this right quick. The dung gate was the port of entry where the Israeli army came through in 1967, entered the city, and took over that section of the city. It was never used by the visitors, and the Arabs never thought for one minute that these Jews would go through that dung gate. They probably thought it would defile them. They surprised them, and in a six-day war, they defeated those of their enemy outnumbered 100 to 1. Man, you think about that. The point of entry where they come in, the strong place. I'll tell you one thing you might not want to talk about, them pipes running out of your house and how you get rid of your waste, but that's how you live. And those soldiers come through that dung port, that dung gate. Notice this. Malachi was a foreman. He's the son of Rahab. He's a foreman. He's a worker. He's a ruler. He was the mayor of that section of the city. He repairs it. His name means my king. His Jehovah. The place, this Beth Hakma, it means the house of the vineyard. Where my God is king, that house will be fruitful. Now, lastly, Nehemiah 12. When you get to Nehemiah 12, Nehemiah is dedicating the wall. He chooses two groups of musicians. Now, listen to this. He chooses two groups of musicians. One goes to the right and one goes to the left. And they circle the city and they meet back at the dung gate. And they can rejoice because the filth has been removed. As far, look, they go each direction. Far as the north is, or the east is from the west, have I removed thy transgressions? And they went in both directions, and they come back rejoicing over the fact the filth is gone. That's where you get the ungodliness out of your life. That's where you get restored. Now, dear people, I love you. I understand some of it's hard to listen to. It is. It's not near as hard for me to preach it because I got liberty today. Yes, it is. Well, if I didn't have liberty, this would be impossible to preach. But God's given it to me. And my heart's full of compassion for you. Because we all struggle. Don't let that mess build up. It's going to kill you. It's going to contaminate you and your whole house. It's going to contaminate your children. You let somebody get out of gear with God, get crossed up, God's man, God's house, and you watch what happens to that family. They become mockers and scoffers. This destruction. Amen. Some of y'all take great pleasure. Now, if you don't do this, I ain't jumping on you. Some of you women in here take great pleasure in your house being like you're a neat freak, you know. You wouldn't let nothing pile up. Some of you don't have care. And I'm not jumping on either one of you. You see, we need to get Mary and Martha in the same body. You and some of y'all, you would be so embarrassed if your friends come to your house when it's not cleaned up. I mean, if I ever go to somebody's house and that woman says, my house ain't cleaned up, I said, listen, I come see you, not your house, but if it would embarrass, and I'm serious, if it would embarrass you too much, I won't go in. I don't want you to be embarrassed. That's right. Why don't we feel like that about our soul? Why can we come to church with sewage backed up for months and years and think we're going to worship God and not defile others? We're not just hurting ourselves. We're hurting other people. That's where the Lord, when He becomes King, my God is King. When He becomes King in your life, you'll become fruitful in areas of your life. Now, I don't want to put a bunch of pressure on you. I can say, now let's all come down here and pray if we've let God down. Why? Who ain't done that? Are you serious about this thing? You serious about a power conference? You serious about having a church that's got the power in it and that honors God? Are we serious about it? Then you're going to have to get serious about this. You're going to have to do with this sermon what God told you to do with it. And you're going to get all that filth out of your heart. You sit around and blame everybody else for our own failures. If it weren't for this, and I'd be here, I'd be promoted. That, you know what? That ain't going to get you nothing. Just go with what you got. Some of y'all been done wrong in previous churches. Well, I know you have. Nobody in this world's ever hurt my heart. I hate to admit this. Nobody in this world's ever hurt my heart besides me like other preachers have. I'm just being honest. Who was David's worst enemy? Saul. I'm just being honest. Not many. Now, not many. Just a few. There's such jealousy in God's Word. There's such jealousy in preachers and singers. It's just a stench. It's just an absolute filthy stench. But Brother Dean, they didn't call me. And they didn't anoint me and they didn't save me. And I can't let that sewage build up my heart. Well, there's no victory in that. I remember a man years ago used to come to this church, and that's one of his favorite sayings. We'd talk about something, he said, there just ain't no victory in that. And I've repeated that probably 1,000 times. Or more than that, there just ain't no victory in that. There's just no victory in filth.
Amen.
You ever see people, and they go in their house, Josh, come on, huh? They go in your house. See what I'm getting at? You got to let stuff happen in the past go. You got to let it go. Get that sewage out. You ever seen people that they think something's mentally happened to them because they're willing to lay in their filth? God have mercy. Something's happened up here. When people are satisfied. And Brother Dean, some people love it. They love laying in filth. And you got a new nature and you love laying. If I wasn't a hog, I wouldn't lay in the filth. You're a sheep. God didn't make me to lay in some hog trough or some mud hole. No, I represent Him. Let's just bow our heads. Church, please, listen, I'm just begging you. I'm not here threatening you. I'm just going to beg you to do business with God.